על אלוהים חי והשתבח, נמצא בהין את אל מציאותו, אחד בהין יחיד כאיכותו, נעלם וגם אין סוף לאחדותו.
לאחדותו אין לו דמות הגוף ואינו גוף, לא נערוך אליו כדושתו, קדמון לכל דבר אשר נברא, ראשון וראשון.
יגדל, a selection from Ramon Tassat's CD celebrating Jewish music from the Mediterranean and the Middle East. Musician Ramon Tassat is our guest in this portion of the afternoon magazine. He's an expert in Sephardic music, and he's in Champaign-Urbana for some workshops and a concert this Saturday evening. Dr. Tassat was born in Buenos Aires. He began learning the Sephardic language as a young boy. He's received training in the culture in five different countries, and his performances around the world include appearances at the Kennedy Center and the Spoleto Festival. His concert here is set for 7:30 p.m. Saturday the 16th at the Sinai Temple in Champaign. All are welcome. And he joins us this afternoon to talk about Sephardic music and what he's planning for Saturday's performance. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me here. It's an honor.
Tell us first a little bit about that excerpt from Yigdal that we played.
Well, it's interesting. I just finished teaching at the university. This is a poem that talks about the 13 principles that define God by Maimonides, a Middle Ages philosopher and rabbi. And this poem was created in 14th century Italy. And what fascinates me is that you probably heard that the music doesn't reflect any of that.
No.
Actually, the music comes from Jerusalem. Uh-huh. But the arrangement has this flair, this kind of like New Orleans type of feel. And what I wanted to do with that song is to actually show in just a few minutes the incredible vitality of Judaism and Jewish music, and how from the Middle Ages you go to 14th century, somebody creates a poem from a philosophical view, and then somebody sings a melody in Jerusalem many years later, and finally in the 21st century we make an arrangement of that melody that actually resounds very neatly in our American background. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a very vital way of showing the tradition.
You know, I want to get up and do a two-step when I hear that tune, and you know, which brings me to the question: if we went back in time, would that poem be set to a music that people would have danced to? Is the liveliness of the music, of the musical tradition, going back hundreds of years, was it always so lively, and, you know, did it make people want to get up and dance?
It's interesting you say that, because no, I mean, the text is also, it has so many meanings that you can really reflect upon it, or you feel, if you take it as a praise for God, and then you say, sure, why should I not dance? But if you reflect about the immensity of the universe, perhaps it would not be so amenable to actually go out and dance, but actually maybe it would have a melody that is more poignant and a little more in the, that would have more depth and more profound and perhaps slower. So you have different ways of approaching the same text, and that what makes it even more meaningful, I think.
Before we go too much farther, I want you to talk with us just a little bit, if you would, about you know, what the Sephardic culture tradition is. Tell us about the Sephardim and their experience, what happened, and what is that?
Yeah, well, you know, Sepharad is a Hebrew word that means Spain, and really relates to the fact that Jews lived in Spain for a long, long time, specifically between the 700 and 1492, when the king and the queen of Spain really expelled them from Spain, not to be back until 1960, when they were invited, so to speak, again to that land. And once they were expelled, they were given 30 days to go out. They go to many, many places. They go to Morocco. If you remember, like kissing Spain, so to speak, from the south, and then going to Portugal, and from there to Holland and London, and then to the United States, and then to the east. They move through the Mediterranean Sea. They go to Italy, and they go to Greece and Yugoslavia, and of course Turkey, that embraced them for 500 years. And Jews lived in Spain during those 700 years, remember, 700 to 14 or so, 1400s. They lived very, very well with their Christian and their Muslim partners, something that we hope it can be replicated in our days. May it be.
May it be. Is there anything that you can say that would sum up Sephardic music? Is there, are there characteristics of it that define it?
Well, there are characteristics. First of all, most of the times you're going to hear it, that the voice plays a very prominent role. The instruments are there, but they're almost like an explanation of what the voice wants to do. And that's why the music becomes very flexible. Some musicologists talk about this idea of arrhythmical music, meaning implying that it doesn't have a rhythm. But what they really mean is that it doesn't have a structured rhythm, like 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1, 2, 3, like the waltz, that it changes as we go.
I understand that you began learning the language of the Sephardic people at your grandmother's knee. And I was wondering if you would tell us a little bit about her, and what kind of stories did she tell you, and did she teach you songs?
It was fascinating. My grandmother was born in Turkey, and she came to Argentina, where I was born. And she never forgot her tradition. She loved to sing. And I remember that some of the songs that I knew, they were part of my collective unconscious. I knew them just before I even knew that I was aware of it. I remember when I recorded my first tape, and I gave it to her, and she was 92 years old, and she said to me, "That's very nice, but," I said, "But what?" She said, "But the words are wrong." And she came and she sang them to me. And then I realized, I was studying at the time my doctoral degree in Jewish music, that she was referring to a different version of the same song. In other words, where songs are transmitted by oral tradition from parents to grandparents to parents and to their children, and what happens, and they get modified as tradition goes passing by, and so you get different versions of the same song.
So it is with Yigdal, right?
Yes.
You have your guitar here. Mm-hmm. Would you?
Yes, and I wanted to play for you a song actually in Ladino. Ladino is the language of the Sephardic Jews, sort of like the equivalent to the Yiddish. And this song is called Adio Querida, Farewell My Beloved. It's a love song. It's one of those romances, one of those ballads that Sephardic Jews are so well known.
Tu madre cuando te parió y te quitó al mundo, corazón ella no te dio para amar segundo. Corazón ella no te dio para amar segundo. Adiós, adiós querida, no quiero la vida, me la amargates tú. Adio, adio, querida, non quiero la vida, me la amargates tú.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
What's on the program for Saturday evening's concert?
We have a great variety of music. I'm going to be first introducing music for the Havdalah, which is the ceremony that separates the Sabbath from the other days of the week. I'm going to sing some songs related to that. I'm going to have some songs in Yiddish, the language of the Jews of Eastern Europe. And then I'm going to have some Israeli music, just sort of celebrating the traditions that arrive to the country that is the fountain of Jews from all over the world. And I'm going, of course, to have some Sephardic songs, both in Hebrew and in Ladino, in this language that I just sang for. Mm,
very good. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I thank you very much for allowing me to teach people and to tell them about this rich tradition of the Sephardic Jews and the Jews in general.
My pleasure. Dr. Ramon Tassad has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. Ramon Tassad again.